This
game is, on?
Yes, stream on. This is episode number 166 of the Android Buffet Podcast, recorded September 23rd, 2013. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks wherever and whenever you want. In 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. To another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast, now with 50% of its host compressed.
Ah, speaking of which, your anti-hum thing took out our music. I couldn't hear anything.
You couldn't
hear? There was no hum.
You couldn't hear the hum, or you couldn't hear me?
I couldn't hear the kazoo because it, you know, it took away the hum.
Really?
No.
Okay. No, but I finally, just before the show, Jerry, you know, but none of the people listening to the recording do, that I was commenting on all of the shiny new dials and buttons that I have that I haven't yet read the manual for.
Mm.
Because I have only the quick start guide. They don't print a manual for you anymore. You have to go online and read it.
Sure, because who wants paper?
If you don't know what any of these buttons mean, I want some paper. I need to bring some, let's say, a tablet in with the PDF on it and try to read this thing. I need to play with it. But basically, I spent all this time fiddling with the buttons and nothing was happening before I realized that I forgot the on button.
Yes, OFF does not stand for on full force.
Well, no. See, there's a power button, which turns power onto the device. That one was on. It was each channel has its own individual on and off button.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what was missing.
Ah.
So there are a lot of, as soon as I rewire the whole thing, I'm going to take a nice vanity picture so that you can enjoy it, Jerry.
Sweet. I'd like to see it. It sounds really interesting because you said it has a display.
Well, let's see. There are two devices that I added to my collection here, which replaced a single small device which tried to do both of these things, but not in with as many settings. So one is the, essentially, it's a vacuum tube microphone or line preamplifier. So that essentially takes the input from the microphone and brings it to the correct level. And it has a tube. So I can actually say that I'm talking through a vacuum tube right now, Jerry.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, that has, you know, settings for gain, frequency, octave bandwidth, level, equalization, and that's a two-channel preamp. So if I wanted to, I could run you through the preamp, but you're at line, so you don't need a microphone preamp.
Ah.
But I could do some other stuff with you if I needed to bring your levels up. And this is, of course, essentially line level. So that brings it to a constant, nice little level. And then above that is the compressor limiter gate, which is a dynamics processor. So that has, that has an expander gate, compressor limiter, a peak limiter. So when I was playing the kazoo earlier, my peaks never peaked because it keeps everything, that's what compressors generally do, it keeps everything within a certain threshold or it limits it. So it can't clip.
Good.
The problem is if you over limit or over compress, then you sound very tinny. So it's possible that I sound tinny today because I haven't read how you're supposed to calibrate it. I'll keep working on that.
Okay.
But since I have four channels, I could run you through the compressor and limit gate and otherwise work with you as well once I actually read the manual.
Well, you said you were humless. And since you said you were humless, that reminded me of a joke. Want to hear my joke?
I love hearing jokes, Jerry.
So is a turtle without a shell naked or homeless?
Naked.
Okay.
Why?
No, the joke is completely made up of the question. The answer is not part of the joke.
Okay. I don't get it.
The turtle shell is where he lives. It's his home.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't have a shell, he's homeless, but he's also naked. Maybe he's naked. Maybe he's homeless. Which one is it? I think it's funny.
I don't know.
I laughed.
Ha, ha, ha. Okay.
You suck.
I do. No, don't jokes. It was more of a thought question than a joke.
No, it was a joke.
I didn't find it more, let me try a joke, okay? I will tell you a joke from when I went to Broadway and saw old Jews telling jokes, which was not 100% old Jews, which was somewhat disappointing. So, Cohn goes to see his doctor.
Who's Cohn?
Doesn't matter.
Cohn is the, okay, that's his name.
His name's Cohn.
Okay.
C-O-H-E-N, Cohn. Would you prefer Mr. Cohn?
Is his name relevant?
No.
Okay.
But we have to call him something.
An interesting name to pick.
Why? I didn't make up this joke. When they told it.
I've never heard Cone as a name before. I've heard it as, you know, something you put ice cream in.
Well, that's C-O-N-E. This is C-O-H-E-N.
Okay.
Trust me. Common name. I know many people named Cone.
Okay.
Okay, so Cone goes to see his doctor. His doctor says, I have good news and bad news. The good news is you have 1 week to live. So Cone looks at him and says, what's the bad news? I forgot to call you last week. No?
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, that was what I saw off Broadway.
Okay.
I paid $30 to hear that joke.
Then I'm sure it was significantly funnier.
Well, you know.
Jokes are funnier when you get warmed up.
No, jokes are funnier when they're told by a professional joke teller. I'm just an amateur. Besides.
Okay. Hold on for a second. I think my daughter-in-law's finally here, so you carry on and I'll be back. Okay?
Okay. If you have experience in operating a compressor limiter gate and would like to provide feedback on the audio quality of this program, please write to podcast@androidbuffet.com or leave us a voicemail at 201-2-WENICA or attach it to your email. You can use the feedback form on our website, or you can, of course, use one of our social media pages. For example, we got feedback this week from Mark. Mark said, hi, I like the idea of a podcast mime. Maybe you could switch the show to YouTube and do the whole show in mime only, or perhaps through the medium of contemporary dance. Just an idea. Keep up the good work. Cheers, Mark. Well, Mark, I can't speak for Jerry because he's gone to answer his door, but I do not think that I can do contemporary dance. So unless you're volunteering, we will have to forgo the idea for now. We got a second comment. First off, good show. It's always placed in my first-to-listen folder. Jerry, congratulations on quitting cigarettes. I started vaping 4 months or so ago and haven't had a cigarette since the first hit on e-cig. Lots of luck. You go, guy.
Okay, I'm back.
Thanks for the podcast. You both are way cool. Valentine. You missed
way cool, you say.
You missed the feedback.
I didn't miss it. I read it.
No, I meant you missed me recounting it to the audience.
The dramatic reading?
Not very dramatic, no. Do you know how to convey the show through the medium of contemporary dance, Jerry?
An audio? No.
No, Mark suggested that we switch the show to YouTube and either do the show in mime only or through the medium of contemporary dance.
I think you and I have repeatedly expressed our desire to not make this a video podcast.
But I don't know. This was before the offer of mime or contemporary dance was on the table. How
you would be doing that on your own. I'm not going to be a part. I'm pretty much anti-mime.
Well, I did speak to our mime from last week.
Yes.
And read him that comment. And I don't know if he'll be making another appearance. Well, that individual will be visiting about once a month. He got a job here in New York. Actually, he's sort of like you. He has a job where he works mostly at home, but he has to come into the place of business every so often to meet with people.
Mm-hmm.
So yours is in Washington. His is in New York. So I have generously said that when he passes through town, he can come and stay with me because when he does, he brings me a chimichurri steak sandwich. Now, there's a really good place that I like to go to, except the parking stinks. So if he goes there and brings me the sandwich, I don't have to park or pay for the sandwich. But so he brought me a chimichurri steak sandwich, so I will have to forgive him for all of the antics he did all evening.
All right. Well, in regards to Valentine, I would just like to say that I am currently sucking on some French toast right now, which just rocks from Vapor Trails Northwest.
Okay, so your smoke tastes like French toast?
Yes.
But no calories.
Isn't that just awesome?
Actually, that sounds very interesting.
Yeah, so I'm like 2 weeks off of cigarettes now, which is over 2 weeks, which is cool.
I'm currently sucking on some green tea. Well, actually, if you're drinking it out of a bottle, is it sucking? Oh, well, that's a whole discussion.
Well, I don't know. If there's a straw, then yes.
No, I'm just, okay, I'm you're sucking, I'm guzzling. I'll be fair. Anyway.
I'll suck, you swallow.
That's good stuff. It's an acquired taste, and I spent a lot of time acquiring it because I was trying to cut down on my soda intake.
If you had a dirty mind, that would have been hilarious.
What?
Nothing. Never mind. Carrying on. In other news.
Me trying to learn how to enjoy green tea so that I could cut down on drinking soda is hilarious. Okay.
No, just, it's okay.
Okay, I understand.
Okay, great.
Okay, so bloggers are concerned about a new media shield bill called the Free Flow of Information Act. It would create a new federal privilege for reporters to protect confidential sources. So apparently there's some concern about the definition of journalist, if it would include, let's say, new media. But aren't you concerned, Jerry, that someday somebody will come to us and want to blow a whistle on the Andrew Buffet podcast? I'm just curious,
aren't journalists already protected from having to share their sources?
Apparently not.
Hmm.
So essentially this is being debated.
I would say that from what I understand of the bill, it's not actually protecting confidential sources more than what it is clarifying what types of journalism are afforded this protection, right?
Well, you still have the right to have a judge deliberate on the matter. So it essentially has said that if you believe that your form of journalism is protected and law enforcement says it isn't, then you have the right to go before a judge and have that ruling considered.
Hmm.
Which I think is at least fair. That somebody gets to make a decision and it's somebody who's supposed to be impartial. I'll emphasize the supposed to, because who knows. Anyway, moving along, there's a new device, the USB condom, which protects your devices from nasty ports.
Which is not a bad idea.
Yeah.
There have been several proofs of concepts
I could make one of these by just taking a cable, cutting out two of the wires, and plugging it in.
Yes.
But, you know, it's nice to know that I can have a little dongle that acts as a condom. So that will essentially convert any cable by me putting it in between.
Just make sure you cut the right ones.
No, what I'm saying is it's nice to have, right?
There's a USB port.
It's like a coupler.
That's four wires, right?
Yeah.
Two are for power, two are for signal. And this condom just cuts the signal, and that's it.
Yeah, so it's a little dongle.
It's a very useful thing to do.
I agree. Now, I could do it myself, but I'd rather have it in a nice little fancy package that doesn't require me to make holes in things. Last time I made a hole in a USB cable, it broke eventually.
Sure.
Cost me another buck to buy another one.
I have to heat shrink that bit, girl.
Yeah. But if this is nice, I'll pay the extra couple bucks.
I like the idea.
Yes.
Apparently, it's particularly useful when you're, like, the whole concept of an evil charger. Like, you're in the airport,
Well, no, it's a brilliant idea because it's the same idea as credit card skimmers. You go to the airport and you install your malicious device on a charging port at the airport, the same way that you install your credit card skimmer at the gas station. So you essentially corrupt a basically good device with your own evil intentions.
Sure.
So why not? Anyway, Ray Dolby, the creator of Dolby Noise Reduction, has passed away. No comment. Oh. My condolences to the Dolby family. I will forever think of Dr. Dolby every time I turn my stereo on.
Okay.
Well, that's when I would think of Dolby because his name's on my stereo.
Okay.
Along with DTS. Anyway, Google acquired Bump. Have you ever tried Bump, Jerry?
I have not.
Well, I sort of like
it. I'm aware that it exists, and I have a few apps on my phone that support said Bump, but I've never actually used Bump.
Well, that's what most of the people who I asked about this said. I know I've heard of it. The idea sounds pretty useful, but I don't recall ever actually using it. But I suppose, you know, if this was built into the operating system, it would be very different. But, you know, you having to go install and configure an app and know that the other person you're going to run into is also going to have to install and configure that app. If that's built into the operating system that you can do that, then it's configured by default, which means more people are likely to use it. So it was never the idea. It was the fact that, you know, when you want to transfer something to a guy standing next to you, you have to make sure that that person already has the software installed. Otherwise, you're not going to stand there. In the 5 minutes it takes you to install the software, you could just copy the information into an email and send it to them. Anyway.
There was another concept of a neat way to pass information back and forth between phones, especially with the prevalence of forward-facing cameras.
And what was that?
Well, it would display – each phone would display a QR code. A changing QR code on their screen. And then you put the phones face to face and they would be able to talk via those QR codes.
What do you think of Google acquiring Bump though? We've talked about the technology, but do you think they're going to use it to their advantage?
I suspect so. I'm not sure whatever.
I'll get back to that later. Republic Wireless is going to offer the Moto X for $300 with a starting plan of $5 a month for Wi-Fi only calling, $10 for unlimited Wi-Fi or Sprint network calling, but no data. $25 for 3G data or $40 for 4G data.
Where is Republic Wireless available?
Well, with the Wi-Fi only plan, anywhere you are. But with their unlimited Wi-Fi or Sprint network calling plans or their Sprint network data plans, anywhere Sprint is. So for $5.
Is there a Sprint reseller?
Partially. They offer lower prices because they encourage and rely on you to use your own Wi-Fi to make calls.
Sweet.
So I happened to be looking at this, and then somebody who I happened to follow happened to mention that they were looking into Republic Wireless now that they have something other than the Motorola Defy. So a subsidized Moto X for $300 and $5 a month means essentially what you have is a house phone.
Which is...
No, add an extra $5 and you have essentially a feature phone outside of the house that can also store information but can only do data over Wi-Fi.
See, I don't know. Personally, I find value and they're still in a landline.
Well, no, the question is this. Let's say you go for the $10 a month plan. Would you be able to live with no data outside your house, but the ability to make and receive calls outside your house?
No.
On the basis that more and more you will be in places that have Wi-Fi networks?
No.
See, I could see this because I keep going to places that have Wi-Fi networks.
What do you do on the way between those things?
What am I doing on the way between those things? I'm operating my motor vehicle. Why would I want data then? Unless I'm plotting out some sort of navigation route.
Hard to argue with that.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, it depends on your use case, doesn't it?
Sure.
And even $40 for 4G data is not that bad. It's still lower than you'd pay otherwise. Anyway, even $25 if you want to restrict yourself to 3G outside the house is not bad most of the time.
Speaking of which, 4G is getting pretty prevalent throughout Jacksonville.
But it's on Sprint.
Yes.
Okay. Just as long as we acknowledge that.
Yeah, it's Sprint 4G, and it's friggin' fabulous.
I happen to like 4G.
I like 4G. I like Sprint. I like Sprint 4G.
But could you live with 3G for a significant reduction in price? So if it was really cheap to operate on 3G, would you restrict yourself to 3G and Wi-Fi?
Sure, I could do that.
Well, that's what Republic is counting on, I guess. CyanogenMod has formed a company backed by $7 million in funding capital, seeking to take their work professional, and will be partnering with an OEM, apparently Oppo, and is adding a easy-to-use installer. CyanogenMod estimates it currently has over 8 million installs. So what do you think? Cyanogen Incorporated.
I like it. So, CyanogenMod has been a cornerstone of the Android community for a long time. And I like the idea of them being able to, you know, add more resources.
Well, you know, the question is it a viable business model? We want anybody who goes out there and tries to make a company to be successful. At least people we like what they do. So do you think they'll be successful?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I support it. I don't believe they'll be successful.
Well, you have to understand.
I mean, I believe that they will for a long time create awesome stuff, but I don't believe that they will make a profit. Well, however, it seems more and more that making a profit is not an important thing in business, which I don't understand.
Neither do I. But may I propose a way that they might be able to make a profit?
Okay.
Okay. Let's take Oppo, which is essentially a company. Let's take, Blue down in Florida. You're familiar with Blue, right?
JetBlue?
No, BLU. They make cell phones.
Oh, they make the
cheaper.
The custom phones where you can order, like, you order your phone by spec and they'll put it together for you? That Blue?
Possibly. But no, they make a line of inexpensive Android phones. They're trying to get the price point down. But anyway, so they might not have the resources to create software for their phones. But what if, let's say, they could contract with CyanogenMod to distribute Cyanogen on there, and Cyanogen would do all of the hardware customization? So what if manufacturers, instead of having in-house programmers working on the specific ROMs for their phones, could actually outsource that job to Cyanogen Incorporated?
Excellent.
No, I'm just saying, I was trying to explain what a model might be that would cause them to be able to make money. How does that sound? Not everybody, you know, is going to put together a team like HTC or Samsung.
I don't see it working, but I mean...
No, I'm saying you asked for a potential model. Somebody gave them $7 million. Somebody thinks they can make money. But I'm giving you a suggestion about how they could make money. Smaller manufacturers who want to customize Android for their particular hardware, but do not want an in-house development team.
Okay, but I don't think that's why they got $7 million in funding for that model.
No, I'm saying that's where they could make money.
They could. I don't think they will.
Okay. So why did somebody give them $7 million? What model was the venture capitalist thinking of?
I don't think it was a venture capitalist that was doing it.
Who gave him $7 million then?
Someone who believes in Android.
So you're saying it's a donation?
Could be.
Okay. I think somebody thinks there's a business there.
I hope they're smarter than I am.
Okay.
I mean, but I gave not you a hard benchmark, but.
No, but I gave you a possible idea for a successful business that Cyadish Incorporated could be in, which is. Sure.
Well, you gave me a possibility for a business. Whether it's a successful business or not is, well, we'll see.
Well, no, I'm saying something that could be successful. Obviously, it hasn't been proven. I don't know why you always doubt me, Jerry.
I don't doubt you. I'm not doubting you. I'm doubting the ability of CyanogenMod
to manifest.
Be a profitable company.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens.
I don't doubt their ability to be successful. I doubt their ability to be profitable.
Well, you know who is profitable, Jerry?
Apple?
Audible.com.
That's right. Audible. Audible, Audible, Audible. Audiblepodcast.com/AndroidBuffet.
Yes. They are our sponsor for the show, and we are very enthusiastic about it. In fact, I've been signing up for their daily deal. In fact, they offered me a book the other day that I seriously considered buying, but I missed the time limit, which was about how you shouldn't eat wheat.
Ah.
Did you catch that one, Jerry?
No, but I'm familiar with the argument.
Okay, well, for $2.99, I could sit in my car and listen to why I shouldn't eat wheat.
It's a fairly convincing argument.
Yeah, but I'm just saying I could do it in the car. Isn't that what everybody wants, the ability to listen to why they shouldn't eat food in the car?
You shouldn't eat food in the car anyway because you're driving, and it makes a mess.
Yeah, and today's book is a $4.95 book, 14 by Peter Kleins. There are some odd things about Nate's new apartment. But while his new home isn't perfect, it's livable. The rent is low, the property managers are friendly, and the odd little mysteries don't nag at him too much, at least until he meets Mandy, his neighbor across the hall, and notices something unusual about her apartment, and Zila's apartment, and Tim's and Veek's. Because every room in this old Los Angeles brownstone has a mystery or two. Some of them are in plain sight, some are behind locked doors. And altogether, these mysteries could mean the end of Nate and his friends, or the end of everything.
Sounds interesting.
Yep, $4.95, today only. See, that's the thing. My choice with Audible is to buy individual books. Whereas, you know, the best deal, and I admit I'm not taking advantage of it, but that's just because it doesn't work for me. But it does work for people. If you listen to a lot of podcasts, then you certainly may wish to listen to a lot of audiobooks. And I certainly wish I had more time to listen to audiobooks. I combine various things, and I do enjoy reading. But what you can do is get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial of their membership product, which is their product that gets you a book a month.
Or two.
That's the higher
plan. Just saying.
I know. You're right. And that is a flat rate fee. So you know that you will be getting the best in spoken audio entertainment.
With the exception of this podcast. You know, it just occurred to me something that we haven't mentioned about this monthly plan thing.
Yes.
Okay. So the way the monthly plan works is basically you get a credit, or if you're on a gold plan, you get 2 credits a month.
Yes.
And normally a normal sized book is a credit. Something super long like Cryptonomicron is 2 credits. But if you don't spend the credit that month,
you don't lose it.
They stack up. So if you don't have time to read, that's okay.
Well,
come back next month.
At some point in my life, I may have a longer commute and I may sign up for a monthly plan. Right now, I buy books as needed and that works for me. And what we encourage you to do is to do what works for you. Whatever you want to listen to, Audible has it. If you want to buy it a la carte, you can. If you want to go for a trial membership, you should do that. It's certainly more cost effective.
Yes, it is.
We want to thank the lovely people at Audible for sponsoring us this month.
Thank you. Yes. And remember, to get the US credit, you do have to go to www.audiblepodcast.com/AndroidBuffet.
Yes. Qualcomm has joined the Wireless Power Consortium, which is the organization behind the Qi standard.
I think it's Qi.
No, it's Qi. I checked.
Okay.
We had this conversation, Jerry.
Okay.
When I talked about playing with Qi. Or were you not here for that? Maybe that was when you were off. Okay, well.
Why would you play with Qi?
That's what QI is pronounced Qi. It's a wireless.
I don't think a Q should exist without a U after it.
Okay. Either way, that is the name of the standard. It's pronounced Qi. It is built in. It is built into the Nexus 7 that I purchased.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to get myself a Qi charging pad. I got the cheapest Qi and charged my Nexus 7. And then I liked it to the point at which I bought an adapter so that I could charge my Galaxy S3. It's an alternate back for the S3 that includes the charging mechanism and points into the actual battery charger on the phone, so I don't have to plug it in. The problem is that because they use inductive coils,
Yes.
You have to align it.
Oh.
No.
Does it have like magnets that kind of help it naturally align?
If it does, it doesn't on the $20 one I bought. Maybe on the $40 one I didn't buy. But no, generally what you have to do is make sure that the target is inside the box. So you have to place it in the right place, but it usually beeps or lights up, indicating that it is connected. But sometimes the one with my phone, since it's sort of an aftermarket conversion, like anything else, does not necessarily work as well as the original install, you know, the OEM version.
Right.
So the Nexus 7 usually connects, but sometimes the S3 doesn't. So I thought about buying a Qi charger with a bigger target. You know, maybe spend more than $22, but for now, I'll stay where I am. But it's a good idea because I hate plugging and unplugging my phone in the middle of the night.
Sure.
So, you know, sometimes I wake up at 4 a.m. and I just want to, you know, look at something for a moment and relax for a second and try to go back to bed. But I don't want to leave the bed. So I grab the phone and just sort of sit there in the dark, which is probably not healthy for your sleep patterns. But I admit I do it. So when you do something like that, you want to just put the phone down rather than trying to fumble with your USB charger. So that's where I am with that. Although I do enjoy reading things at 4 a.m. That's usually when I get responses to my emails.
That's funny.
No, it isn't. It's 9 a.m. in Europe.
I think it's funny.
Why? I talk to a lot of people in Europe. How's that funny? I write them, they're in bed, and when I wake up, they've written back, which just makes it really hard to have a conversation with anybody, because it takes 24 hours to have a back and forth. Anyway, moving along. The reason why Qualcomm joining the Wireless Power Consortium is interesting is they were a founding member of the Alliance for Wireless Power, who were proponents of a competing wireless charging standard.
I'm sorry, say that again. They were what?
They were a founding member of the Alliance for Wireless Power.
Right.
So they just joined the Wireless Power Consortium.
Mm-hmm.
But the Alliance for Wireless Power were proponents of a competing standard for wireless charging.
Mm-hmm.
So not Qi. So essentially they were anti-Qi, and now they're pro-Qi. But either way, the industry of wireless charging would benefit if people would agree on a single standard. The same way that the prevalence of VHS recorders only came after there was no longer a Betamax. People want one standard.
Sure.
So once there is a standard, manufacturers will put it into their devices in greater numbers. Moving along, apparently personality Jeff Jarvis tried to activate a Nexus 7 on Verizon LTE. Did you hear about this, Jerry?
I did not. Tell me the story.
Well, it was great because, you know, I was driving up and down for the holidays, which I mentioned to you I was doing, to see my relatives. So I was listening to podcasts, and there was the This Week in Google podcast. And there's Jeff Jarvis, who I enjoy when he rants, ranting about his experience. And he tells, you know, the long story of how he, you know, he was very eager for a Nexus 7 with LTE. And as soon as it arrived, he went into his local Verizon store to get a SIM card for it. And they tried to activate it, and it didn't work. They brought in the manager, and they couldn't get it activated. And they sent him away, and he tweeted the Verizon support team.
Yes.
And they told him that it was not a supported device. And then tried to get him to buy one of the tablets that they sell.
So is it a Sprint LTE or what?
No, LTE is a standard. It's like GSM. Okay. So even though Verizon can lock devices to its CDMA network, the conditions of their Block C purchase during the Spectrum auction a few years ago,
right,
actually stated that they had to allow customers to use the devices and applications of their choice. So it's the same as GSM, where I can take a GSM-supported phone and put it on any network with a SIM card. But Verizon...
So the basic thought is that it's not a technical problem. It's a...
Well, they're saying that the Verizon Wireless, before they will allow the device onto their network, has to be put through the Verizon certification process. However, their agreement with the FCC on getting the Spectrum auction... One for LTE, the condition that was placed on it was that they had to allow any device that met the technical standard.
Mm.
So basically, Jeff Jarvis has filed a complaint with the FCC, to which he received a response from Verizon's VP and Associate General Counsel, copied into the acting head of the FCC Enforcement Bureau, stating that in response to the suggestion that Verizon is violating its C-block obligations by declining to activate Mr. Jarvis's Google Nexus 7 LTE, Verizon takes seriously its C-block obligations and is fully complying with them, including with respect to the device in question. Google announced in July that this device will run on the Verizon wireless network. The manufacturer of the device subsequently submitted it for our certification process in August, and that process has proceeded. In fact, we expect final certification of the device will shortly. Once the device is certified, we will work with Google to enable the device to be activated on our network. Verizon's certification process is fully consistent with the Commission's C-Block rules. The rules require Verizon Wireless to allow customers to use their choice of devices, but recognize this obligation applies only in case of devices that comply with the provider's published standards. Skipping ahead, Verizon's certification process for third-party devices is a straightforward way to ensure that the devices attached do not harm the network or users. Although they use one of the most rigorous texting protocols of any carrier, the process generally takes only between 4 and 6 weeks.
Oh.
Well, see, that's the that's the interesting thing.
Which is?
Well, number one, if he takes his SIM card out of his Chromebook and puts it in the Nexus 7, it works perfectly. And the wording says, does not refer to Verizon standards. It actually works in compliance with the open standard. So basically the LTE standard.
All right.
Yes, I do like the commentary, though. The certification process is code for a year of discussions with the manufacturer about what money, what features Verizon wants disabled, what crapware to add, etc. So let the FCC handle that one, I guess. But it's interesting, you know. But you've heard Jeff Jarvis speak, I find.
Yes.
So you can just imagine him without hearing it, how he told the story, not necessarily as calmly as I did. So he was very emotional about the whole thing. It was very interesting. Very entertaining, actually. But I am fully in favor of him pursuing the matter.
I look forward to seeing what kind of resolution appears.
Well, the thing is, you have the whole unlocked cell phone thing.
Yes.
And you have the fact that a GSM cell phone that's unlocked can be on any GSM network in the world, assuming you have the right frequencies. LTE is pretty much the same way. And Verizon and Sprint are both moving from a CDMA network to an LTE, which means pretty much eventually the whole world will be on the same standard, and Verizon and Sprint won't be these two, how would you refer to them compared to the rest of the world for using CDMA over GSM?
Weirdos.
Okay, well, I was going to go with something a little more polite, but we'll say weirdo. So essentially, they will be like everybody else, so they won't have an excuse to not allow devices on their network under the basis that those devices are compliant with open standards. So they're saying this is very important right now because in a few years there won't be any CDMA and everything will be LTE. So imagine me going and buying an open device the same way that you could buy a GSM Nexus 4, or you could until they stop making them, and put it onto the T-Mobile network or go buy a SIM card from Solovay or Straight Talk or what have you. Stick it in the phone, it would work. Imagine if Verizon had to support that. Imagine if Sprint had to support that. One phone for everybody.
That'd be kind of nice.
That's what I'm hoping for. Freedom, Jerry.
Freedom!
Yeah, and all this is freedom to... it means that I would, you know, if I wanted to take my device around the world, I would have to pay for the device and own it. But at the end of the day, it would mean that if I was unhappy with the people at Verizon, I pull a card out of my phone, go down to the local store, buy another card, stick it in, and I'll have service. I'm not going to get into the difficulty of porting your number between carriers, but you get my point.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that sound like something, a world worth living in, Jerry?
Oh.
Oh, LTICAL. No, sorry, that doesn't work. Shed his grace on thee. Anyway, so the focal camera app was removed from CyanogenMod. Since CyanogenMod.
Why?
Well, apparently the developer didn't really like the whole incorporation thing. So he's decided to launch the app in the Play Store independently. So it's in beta, but it's now being developed independently. So it's no longer part of CyanogenMod. That doesn't mean that you can't install it on CyanogenMod. It will now be an independent thing that you can install on any phone. So Focal has a lot of features. It also includes PixSphere, which is an open source implementation of Photosphere. So basically, same functionality, a lot of extra features. It's a great looking app if you look at it. It's not supported on my phone, but eventually it may be.
Sounds interesting.
Well, I can install it on the Nexus 7, but why would I want to take pictures with the Nexus 7? I know people like taking pictures with tablets, but I don't quite get it.
I don't either.
Yeah. Maybe if you had it in a tripod or something. Google makes Quick Office free to all users. Previously, it was free for paying apps users. And if you log into it before the 26th, you get 10 gigabytes of free drive storage. So you should log in, Jerry. Well, no one can complain about 10 gigabytes of free drive storage.
Somebody could.
You're going to complain about free?
Not me, but I'm just saying somebody could.
Somebody could complain about everything.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, but free. Freedom. How do we keep getting on the subject of freedom? Anyway.
Freedom! I don't know.
Anyway, so I just got 10 gigabytes of free storage. Yay me. Anyway, moving along. Quick Office, as you know, has been a staple of mobile devices for years, even before Android. It is essentially an office suite that was bought by Google and is now part of their suite of products. The Google AdSense app was updated. There's now a widget, so you can watch how much money in cents your widget, your ads make in the course of a day. I'm sure that the Android Buffet ads netted us a quick 7 cents this week.
Really?
Well, the truth of the matter is that most people listen to the show on a podcatcher and don't go to the Android Buffet site to listen.
Sure.
So they don't see the ads. So,
ah,
not that Google ads are necessarily the most lucrative thing for a small website.
Absolutely not.
You know, maybe you make a dollar here or there. But if I really thought they were obtrusive, I'd probably rethink the whole ad thing. Let's see here. Firefox for Android now lets you share tabs with NFC. It has WebRTC support, night mode, and more. Go Firefox.
Yay! Yes.
And you were asking earlier about the whole thing with Bump, but look what happened to Wallet. Google introduced a wallet that allows you to send money from anywhere using email addresses, keep store loyalty cards, use Google offers, and more. So basically, Wallet is no longer an NFC-only service. So if you combine the fact that they're opening up Wallet so you don't need NFC, which hasn't gotten widespread adoption, they're still supporting it. But they've made it
just sad.
Well, no, the thing is that all the carriers, for the, you know, actually there were some rare exceptions, got together and blocked Google Wallet on their networks. So essentially,
wankers.
So essentially, here's Google saying, well, you know, fine, you don't feel comfortable with us letting people have this app using NFC. We will have a version for people who have NFC who it's supported on, who will get the extra functionality, but we'll have a degraded version, which will have new functionality that has nothing to do with NFC that will allow you to do other stuff. So everybody gets Google Wallet, but you only get the features that your carrier will support. Still better than nothing. So
it is.
But imagine if you added Bump to this. So you wouldn't need NFC. What if you added, you know, what you mentioned earlier, QR codes, you added Bump, you added support for other ways of communication that would not require you to have NFC. NFC would just be an option. Isn't that hedging your bets? Sure.
I think so.
Support everything. Anyway, moving along, Trillion for Android was updated. It now has a Holo-friendly UI. Are you still using Trillion, Jerry?
I use it on the desktop. I'm not using it on my, what do I call this thing? Phone.
Your HTC Evo 4G LTE?
Yes. Okay. I'm not using it on that.
Are you going to get yourself a new phone, Jerry? I heard that it's only 1 cent for new HTC Ones.
I think I'm a long ways from being upgradable.
Not if you join the new Sprint upgrade every year program.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. You know me. I don't buy new phones. I just buy used phones.
Well, sure.
They're new to me. The guy who sold me the S3 wanted a Note 2. Maybe I should ask him whether or not he now wants a Note 3 and will sell me his Note 2. I don't know if I want a big phone, but who knows. Let's see what we have here. The Aldeco book reader, the premium version, was updated with a complete Holo overhaul. So do you remember early on when we were talking about Aldeco?
Yes.
They are still very popular for Android. And they just redesigned the app with a Holo theme. Can I get a Holo?
Holo!
No, not
Holo.
Holo.
Yeah,
no. So check it out if you want. So if you
apparently, I'm eligible for upgrades at the beginning of the year.
I'm well into being eligible for upgrades. I'm well past my contract. I'm just not renewing right now.
I just don't see any phones that really, you know, excite me.
I just don't want to I don't want to give them $70 more a month for less than I have now.
Sure, I'd have to go I'll on buy board. That.
Well, no, I'd get tethering. Not worth it. I don't know. I keep thinking about switching networks, but there's only one thing that prevents me from going over to T-Mobile, which I like. I like the flexibility of their plans, but there are certain areas where they don't provide service. I'm referring to geographic areas, not anything else. Also, some people complain about their customer service, but I do like what they're trying to do, and I'd love to support them on it. Maybe I should get a Republic Wireless one.
Ooh.
Well, then I'd be on the Sprint network. Never mind. Anyway, so a few bits of housekeeping. Next week, I will be here for the show, but next week I have a couple days off, so I'm going to be visiting Washington. I was going to visit Canada, but I wasn't able to get all of my arrangements in. I couldn't figure out where to stay. You know how hard it is to pick a hotel when you don't know the neighborhoods?
No.
I made that big mistake in London. I listened to other people. So I didn't stay on the one on the rail line that wasn't shut down for weekend track service. Stayed on the one that was on the wonderful line that ended up being shut down all weekend, so I had to take rail replacement bus service.
Mm-hmm.
So I've decided to postpone until I can explore more. I've decided to postpone my plans to visit Canada. So I will schedule that maybe for next year. So because I have a few days and there's some stuff I want to do around here, for example, I'm going to rewire the mixer board.
Yay. Sounds like fun.
Well, I want to get to, I very quickly made sure that I was gated, but I want to gate you.
I don't want to be gated or compressed.
There's an on off button, Jerry. I want to wire you through the gate. That does not mean I cannot leave the gate open or closed.
Right. But you have the option of closing the gate.
Yes. You don't want me to have that.
And that limits. No.
That limits you?
It limits me.
Okay. I'll tell you that many major podcasters said that they would not go on the air without being compressed.
Wow.
Yeah. Either way, I sort of like it, and I was showing you earlier, and I will demonstrate on the podcast. This is what happens when I turn the gate off. Do you hear that noise in the background?
Yes.
But when I turn the gate on, where is the noise, Jerry?
It's been gated. You have limited the noise's freedom. The noise can no longer express itself.
Do you need the noise to express itself, Jerry? Anyway, I'm going to be replacing the rack that all the equipment is in to make it easier to work. So I'm going to a slightly different orientation. My rack is angled, and I would need a straight rack.
Oh.
What do you mean? Why oh?
Just that you're requiring it to be straight. I would have thought you to be more open-minded than that.
I am open-minded, but it means that the lowest rung on the rack, I don't have any room on.
Oh.
I'm not saying I'm getting rid of the rack. I'm saying that I'm going to replace the rack. I may find another use for this particular rack.
Ah.
It's a very nice rack. Cost me $15. It's collapsible.
Collapsible.
Yes. Oh, the new one has a cover on it, though. It'll be here tomorrow. But so that'll be my Monday. I'm going to rewire everything on Monday before the podcast, test it up, and it'll be ready for showtime.
I'm looking forward to it.
And if it isn't ready for showtime, I will rig up something temporarily and continue working. Then I'm going to visit the wonderful Washington, D.C. area. I have my uncle down there, and he wanted me to spend some time with him for a day or two. So I'm going to see what there is to do in Washington. I do enjoy the area. I thought I might take in some of those free government institutions if they aren't shut down next week.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard what? That, the whole sequester thing.
No.
Apparently the budget's running out again. Another budget crisis. Yay, America. Anyway, but basically if that happens, a bunch of services could shut down, which might prevent me from visiting all of those free things in Washington that you could do. So you have until next week to suggest things in Washington I might do while I'm there. I'm not sure if anybody's from the Washington area. Why don't we ask Google? Let's see what Google says. Tell me things to do in Washington, D.C.
Here are popular attractions in Washington, D.C.
I could visit the White House, the Capitol, the Smithsonian National Zoological Park, the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts, the National Museum of Natural History, and the National Air and Space Museum. Well, I've been there recently, but I did want to go back to the Stephen F. Udvar-Hazy Center. Have you ever been there, Jerry?
Yeah, what? No.
Why not? You know, last time I was there, I didn't get to take the tour. Seems like a nice thing to do. The National Gallery of Art, the National Portrait Gallery, the National Museum of American History. I've never been? I've never been to the National World War II Memorial, because last time I did touring, it wasn't there. Ooh, the National Building Museum. Did you know there was a National Building Museum? The Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial, that's a new one. Oh, here we are, the National Museum of Crime and Punishment. I wonder if that's free. No, darn, it's privately owned. They probably want me to pay money. I wonder what else there is to do in Washington. Ooh, the museum. Been there. The National Arboretum. All sorts of... I have to find out which one of these are free. Ooh, the National Museum of the American Indian. The National Aquarium. Ooh, Blair House. The Franklin Delano Roosevelt Memorial. I've been there, it's very nice. Anyway, so much for Washington.
Shall we wrap it up?
Well, if you have any suggestions, you know, I'm always... And if anybody in the Washington, D.C. area would like to join me for a touring of local attractions, I will be happy to accept your offer to shake my hand and tell me how much you love the podcast in person, as long as you pay transportation costs. Not for me, for you to wherever you're going to meet me. I think that's fair, right? If you come and meet me, you have to make your own way there.
Okay.
I thought it was fair. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our program. If you are interested, of course, you can check out the AndroidBuffet.com site. You can visit us on Facebook. You can visit us on Google+, which I really have to check again. Twitter. So we are on all of the major social networks. And, of course, we can be reached by email at podcast@AndroidBuffet.com, plus the usual other places, the Contact Us page on our website. Or, of course, Jerry can be reached at jerry.jones@gmail.com. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Did you know, Jerry, that that's where Tech is?
That's where Tech is.
Yeah,
if
because
it's Tech, it's there.
Yeah, but that means that Tech isn't here. It's over there. So go over there.
Well, we're here.
Yeah, but we're there too.
Yeah.
Yes.
But if we're there, so.
We're also here.
If we're there, then we're here.
Yes.
If we are there, then thus there is here, and thus Tech is here.
Well, maybe some of those people can tell me how to use the compressor limiter gate. They might own one. You know, Dora owns a compressor limiter gate. But he also said that audio podcasts are for graybeards, so I don't know. We may have a difference of opinion on audio. Just remember one final thing, Jerry.
What's that?
If you want to listen to it, Audible has it. With over 100,000 titles in virtually every genre, you'll find what you're looking for, and you can get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial today by signing up at www.audiblepodcast.com/androidbuffet. That's the name of this podcast, after the slash. Before that, theaudiblepodcast.com.
And before that, www.
I don't know. Maybe the www is optional.
You know, according to the Twit Network, it's not. If you go to just audiblepodcast.com/androidbuffet, we don't actually get any credit for it.
Okay.
So, or at least that's what they say. I don't know.
I don't know either. But don't just in case, don't forget those www's. Right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so this is the first test of the compressor limiter gate. Hopefully I was appropriately compressed, limited, and gated. Join us next week when hopefully I've had time to read the manual and possibly gotten some advice from somebody. Maybe I'll watch some YouTube videos. Somebody must have had a demonstration of how to use this thing. You can find anything on YouTube nowadays. People seem to demonstrate everything. So if you put in the product, you know, any product, somebody is out there unboxing it. This is my compressor limiter gate. These are all the funny dials. I don't really know how to use them, but I put up a video on YouTube because I don't know, have to explain how to use them. I just have to take them out of the box and show it to you. I still don't understand unboxing videos. Anyway, that brings us to the end of the program. We will be, of course, back next week. Jerry, do you have any final thoughts?
I have a
question. Yes?
I do. There's something I would like to talk about now that we've gotten past all the pleasantries.
Yeah.
So with all this security and stuff,
yes,
you know, and privacy and such, I have decided that I want to have the ability to encrypt / sign emails.
Yeah.
Try
Mailvelope.
Well, that'll work for Gmail.
Yes.
But I want something that will work on my phone, on my desktop, and will allow me to use a custom domain for the email.
Okay. Well, we'll have each one is a different thing. Now, on your desktop, Thunderbird still works pretty well.
I thought Thunderbird has been – development on Thunderbird has basically ceased.
No. They've said that they feel that the product is somewhat feature complete. So new – there will not be major changes to it. It will just be maintained in terms of security and basic upgrades. That's how I understood it, at least.
Okay. So I got a – I got the email address that I want to do this with. It's me@jerry.us.
Okay.
And right now I've got it set up over at Outlook.com because there was a little loophole in the, you know, Google shut down their free version of their Google Apps. But there was a loophole where if you created an apps account or a Google Apps application, then you could kind of get in through a side door to get one free email address at, yep. Or one free. But that's shut down now. So I went over to Outlook.com where it works over there.
That's because they're desperate for users. I'm not.
And I could hook that up to the mail application on my phone. But now I want to get PGP or GPG hooked into there somehow.
Into the phone? Just
into the phone. Well, I mean, if I have an encrypted email, then I want to be able to read it wherever I am.
Let me look into it. Can
if you any get... users, if any listeners, one, are still listening, and two,
why not? I'm still recording.
But we've gotten into the, you know, we did the
ending thing.
Yeah. So they may have left.
Yeah.
Or if they have a recommendation for an app that will do email via GPG or with a built-in GPG, PGP type thing, then I would welcome such feedback.
Well, so would I. I'd be interested. I've had some issues with the whole GPG thing for the same reason that many people do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pain in the neck. It always has been. But if somebody can find a way to make it easy for me to do it and not a pain in the neck, I will do it. So get out there, developers, and make it easy. I don't mind a configuration process. I just want when I'm using it to not have to worry about it too much.
Exactly.
So it's usage. I don't mind setup.
To use. Yeah. Okay. Right there with you, man.
So that brings us to the end of our program. We have a challenge for you for next week. And just remember, go out there and be safe. Any final words, Sherry?
Nope.
Good night, folks.
Good night.